On behalf of everybody at HeritageRadioNetwork.com, we'd like to send a special thank you to the Hearst Ranch, our biggest supporter and longest-running sponsor since we first started in 2009. Hearst Ranch is the nation's largest single-source supplier of free-range, all-natural, grass-fed, and grass-finished beef. Since 1865, the Hearst family has raised cattle on the rich, sustainable native grasslands of the Central California coast. The result is beef with extraordinary flavor that's as memorable and natural as the surrounding landscape. For more information, visit www.hearstranch.com.
Okay, everybody, it's time for a game. I'll sing my song and you do just what the song says. Here we go. Rub your tummy just like this. Rub it all day long. Rub your tummy, rub it hard. While we sing our song. Rub, 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 rub. Play and sing along.
Good morning, everybody. This is Growing Good, and I'm your host, Alessandra Maria. I'm very excited about today's show. We are going to be talking about Montessori, an amazing collective of teachers and educational institutes based on the Montessori theories of your child's development. This came to light in my life because I bought an amazing book on Amazon.com called Teach Me to Do It Myself, Montessori Activities for You and Your Child. I was getting a little weary. My son is 19 months old. He's way ahead of the learning curve and physical curve. He's in the 95th percentile. So I started researching, just like all you parents out there, the schools in my neighborhood and, nearby neighborhoods. And it's a very complicated process to try to pick, you know, the right institute for your child, the right schedule that will fit your child, and most importantly, the budget that will fit your child. So we are city people living here. I know that lots of you are listening from all over, so this might not apply to you. But in my interviews and in my tours, I found out that many of these daycare centers, because basically it's considered daycare till your son or daughter is 3 years old. At 3 years old, you can find children facilities that will take your child for pre-K, which really is 4 years old. But some schools start at three. So three and four is pre-K. At five, you start kindergarten. So there's a long way to go before we get into our public schools and our tax dollars and what we can, you know, really afford in our budget. Around here locally, I found some places that were $25,000 for the year, down to $17,000. Then the cheapest was, $13,000. That is particularly out of my budget. So I bought this book because I wanted to figure out, although I am not going to be proceeding in homeschooling, I just wanted to figure out what I could start integrating in our home life in terms of schooling. And this book has blown my mind. So the book is called Teach Me to Do It Myself, Montessori Activities for You and Your Child. And it's by a woman named Maja Pitamic. And she has had over 15 years experience teaching children of varying ages and backgrounds. She has a degree in art history and specifically Montessori teacher training, and her specialization is in early years teaching. I really have to tell you that this book has changed my life and Wally's life. I can see it. And we're going to be going, in the first segment, we're going to be going over some of the activities in this book that I would love to share with you, because in doing these activities, you then kind of create an instinct to, you know, vary on the activities, come up with your own activities, but always based on this very specific Montessori theory, which is primarily based on order, that your child enjoys order, discipline within your child's workspace, which is actually something that he's longing to crave because he or she cannot speak. They like order. They like to be taught how to keep their materials clean, etc. So let me just give you a little background on Montessori. It was born in Rome in 1870 by a genius woman called Maria Montessori from my homeland. She became the first female medical graduate of Rome University, so she has that to her credit. And she was the director of the Scuola Ortofrenica, a school for children with special educational needs. And by 1900, she was teaching anthropology at Rome University. So in 1907, Montessori opened their very first Casa dei Bambini, which means home of children, a school for children from the slums. While there, she devised her new world-famous teaching method. Word spread quickly of the revolutionary teaching method that was being employed in this particular school, and soon visitors were flocking to observe. The Montessori teaching method has become internationally renowned. I, you know, looked up this morning for my own city, New York. There's about 5 New York City Montessori schools. There's only 2 in Brooklyn, 1 in Bed-Stuy, and 1 in Brooklyn Heights. However, there were about 4 more daycare centers that specifically are focused on Montessori development. So it's like a, you know, a level before your school that you choose Montessori. So possibly Montessori's most revolutionary belief is the importance of the child's environment when learning. It's felt that for children to flourish and grow in their self-esteem, they need to work in a child-centered environment. And today, not only Montessori schools, but all schools recognize the part that the environment has to play in the development of the child. And this is the environment that we're going to be talking about that you can create in your own home. Montessori has always claimed that you know, they do not devise a teaching method, but that the ideas on teaching children merely grow out of close observation of the children. So the children are the tools in which these exercises have been based on. And from this, Maria Montessori discovered the following needs: joy in learning, love of order, the need to be independent, the need to be respected and listened to, and interest in fact and fiction, and the difference between the two. So, moving along here, this is just great because this book has a preface on how to use the book and the activities. And they're very simple and they may seem trite, but when you really sit down and think about how you've been presenting your games and your activities to your child, it will change your mind to hear these things. So here are different things these activities would require in terms of preparation and available materials. You know, you may be worried that you don't have specialized knowledge of teaching, but that's just nothing to worry about because, like I said, it's very easy to acclimate to your own environment and what matters to you and, you know, your own child, his personality, his or her personality. So here are some of the points that you want to attack when you go over the activities that are going to follow these points that I'm going to point out to you. One of them is you want to avoid repetition. The use of she and he is alternated in all of these activities that I'm going to tell you, obviously. Okay, the second thing is check your environment. Make sure that you and your child can do the activity in comfort and safety. Make sure that your child can see the activity clearly. In Montessori, they always persuade you to sit your child to the left of you, to your right if she is left-handed. But you want your child to be sitting to the left. Now, this is something that was so simple, but when I applied it to Wally, I really saw the activities moving forward more progressively and him understanding my role in it and then kind of forgetting that I was there and being able to do it himself because you are facilitating the child using his right hand if he is right-handed or left if he is left-handed. So aim to work with your right hand, your left hand if your child is left-handed, for consistency. Don't mix it up. Don't put things down without thinking about it. It's all about the order. So you want to place the materials in like a precise order. You want your child to watch you place the materials in a right order. And this will help their writing skills in the future, their life skills in the future, so that their primary hand becomes stronger. Many of the activities that we're going to be talking about are done on a tray. This defines the workspace for your child. So choose a tray that is not patterned to avoid distraction. Again, all these materials can be found in your home, and I like leaf through my kitchenwares, and I found a beautiful pastry dish tray that I didn't even know that I had. So you don't have to spend any money to do this and to start today. Prepare the activity in advance. There is no point in suggesting an activity to a child only to discover that you don't have the materials. This is where the frustration begins. This is where the tantrums come in. They want to be a part of what you're doing. So maybe What I've been doing is distracting Wally with like a car toy, and I go on the kitchen counter where I can see him, and I prepare all the materials that I need for whatever activity, you know, kind of without him noticing, so that when the activity is ready, I either turn off the TV, put the car toy away, and say, okay, it's school time, or whatever it is that you want to start with your child, some sort of vocal introduction and alarm in their mind that they will get excited and know that it's time to do Montessori. Be orderly when presenting the activity. Set out your materials in an orderly way, and this will instill in your child a sense of order. Make your child responsible for taking the materials to the workspace and then returning them when the activity is completed. This creates a cycle of work and encourages your child to focus on the project. This was the first thing that I did. Obviously, I picked out my first little activity. I prepared the materials, like I said, with that I'm watching. And then I called Wally over, and between the counter and his desk, I keep his desk and chair in the kitchen because I live in an apartment and that's just the best place to put it. And so I had him take the tray with the materials on top and bring them to the desk himself. And I have to tell you, his eyes lit up. He was so aware of what was going on. He immediately sat down in the chair without a struggle to begin our exercise. You want to be clear in your own mind what the aim of the activity is. So always read the exercise through first. Again, you don't want your child sitting there with your project and then you're, oh my God, I have to read this. I have to go through this, blah, blah. And you're going to lose that focus. You're going to lose that moment. Your child is a sponge, and he or she is ready for you. So do not interrupt when your child is working. Learn to sit back and observe. If he's not doing it exactly the way that you want him to do it, that's okay. You're going to put the materials away. I recommend keeping a box, which is what I started doing, and with Ziploc bags, so that as I'm going through this book, I've only done about a handful, I have the materials already prepared for a rainy day to just open up my box and say, which Montessori activity do I want to do? So this is just a beautiful thing that your work will not go unappreciated, because you're going to keep reintroducing these activities until your child gets it right. So you need not be agitated or aggravated with your child if he's not getting it. So that's a big part. If I said big, I'll say it again, a big part of Montessori. So you don't want to interrupt your child working. You want to learn to sit back and observe. Try not to be negative. If your child is unable to do the activity correctly, then make a mental note to reintroduce it again at a later stage, which is what we just spoke of. If your child is absorbed by the activity and wishes to repeat it, let her do so as many times as she or he wishes. A child learns through repetition. Create a work area for your child if space permits. Like I said, I live in a one-bedroom apartment, and I put Wally's desk and chair where the garbage can would go in this design. So you have to be a little bit creative. I know not a lot of us have our own child's room. If you do, that's great. Again, you want to just create a space where you can observe your child and that he's not confused by bedtime or teeth time. You know, you figure it out, and it's creative and it's a beautiful thing. Decorate around it. Make it obvious that that is their workspace. If your child abuses any of the materials in the activity, and this is very important, they recommend that the activity needs to be removed immediately. By doing this, she will understand that his or her behavior was unacceptable. The activity can be reintroduced at a later date. So for example, we're going to get to our first activity. My first activity that blew my mind in this book was as simple as, you know, 1, 2, 3 for adults, but that's obviously really hard for kids. I picked an activity. I went through all of them, and, you know, obviously it ranges from 16 months to 6 years old, so you have to kind of like figure out what you're going to do. But my first activity that I did was learning to transfer. Such a simple and beautiful thing. I would have never known that Wally would take to this so wholeheartedly, and the smile on his face that followed melted my heart. So the activity involves transferring substances such as spooning and pouring, developing muscular coordination that helps with eating, serving food for oneself and others, and cooking. Such activities also prepare the muscles for the more complex task of writing, which is really exciting as a parent. As with pouring, this activity begins with less refined substances moving to finer substance. So in the book, it says you will need 2 small shallow bowls. about the size of a cupcake. Again, use your improvise. I did not have two shallow bowls the size of a cupcake. I had two plastic paper cups, which was fine. So now I've got my tray and I've got my two plastic paper cups. They want you to give a teaspoon and about rice in half of one of the cups, and you leave the other cup empty. So again, you lay it out. You've got your two cups, you've got your spoon, you want to place it on the tray, you want him to bring the tray to the workspace, you place the spoon to the right of him, you stand to the left of him. You show your child how to do it the first time. So you pick up your spoon and you begin to transfer the rice from the left to the right bowl until the bowl is empty. Then you reverse the bowls, so the bowl with the rice is back on your left with the spoon back on your child's right. Pass the tray to your child for him to try. This sounds so simple, folks, but I did this, and Wally worked so hard at transferring these. I didn't even have rice beans. P.S. I had raisins. So, again, imagination. He worked so hard at transferring these raisins from one cup to the next cup for about, I would say, 30 to 40 minutes. And when he would get it right, he would just look up at me and smile and then do it again. So once he transferred all of my raisins from one cup to the other, he immediately on his own understood to take the full cup and pour it back into the other cup and start all over again. It was a beautiful sight to see. We then moved on to pouring. So with the pouring, again, I had to scavenger around the house. I found a teacup that my grandmother used me. It was made of porcelain, so it was not a baby-proof choice. But again, I was there with him supervising, and I set out three cups. So now I've added three elements to the cups, and I filled the teapot with water. Now, you don't want to fill it all the way because you don't want this to become bath time. But so basically, I put the pitcher, again, on the left side of him, the cups on the right side of him, and then I showed him how to pick up the pitcher. So you pick up the pitcher on the right hand with your right hand supporting the handle. And then you want to show them to put their left hand directly under the spout. And it's so cute. Again, just he understood because I followed these very, very simple instructions of presenting him again the tray, putting it down, presenting him the cups and having him put them down, showing him that I was putting the water, presenting him the teacup, helping him put the teacup down, then doing the exercise once in front of him while he sat. You want them to sit or stand close to their workspace on the chair. And I did it each one. Then I poured the cups of water back into the tray, set everything up aligned correctly, and showed him only once how to hold the teacup. And I've never seen my son so calm and so willing to take direction from me. It was really, really out of sight. I know it sounds simple, but I have to tell you that about after a couple of these exercises, I swear on God's green earth that I saw him go back to his other toys, and I could see him when he didn't think I was watching him. I could see him playing with his old toys better and with more sense and logic. He wasn't just throwing them around and pushing buttons. He was putting the car on top of the truck where it was supposed to go. He was closing and lifting the levers of the windows of his Legos, how it was supposed to be done. And it was just really, 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 really encouraging. And I really, really just have been dedicating 10 minutes in my morning to an activity and 10 minutes in the afternoon to the activity. We're going to go to our song break now. Today's theme is John Lennon, and this is Give Me Some Truth. All I want is the truth. Just give me some truth. I've had enough of reading things by neurotic psych. Some truth. No short head, yellow belly, son of tricky dick is gonna mother her, but top so me for just a pocket full of hope. Money for dough, money for road. Woo-hoo. Hey everybody, you're back with Growing Good. Today's topic is education, and the reason why John Lennon, the one and only, is the theme for today is because tonight, locally, the third annual Lennon Concert to benefit Arts Education International, which you can find out more about at www.artseducationinternational.org, is going to be at the Knitting Factory in Brooklyn. It's an awesome, awesome build-out venue. It's pretty cool that Knitting Factory has come down here. They spent a lot of money to make this place. There's going to be performances by many bands, including Acrylics, Desert Stars, Here We Go Magic, Will Rowan, formerly of Amazing Baby, Teen, Erica Spring of Au Revoir Simone. It's going to be pretty awesome. And of course, Mr. Ivan Mack is DJing soul and vintage rock and roll throughout the night. So please go to Knitting Factory in Brooklyn tonight to support the third annual Lennon Concert for Benefit of Arts Education International. It's going to be rad. It starts at 8 p.m. and it ends at 12 a.m. And Knitting Factory is located on Metropolitan Avenue in Brooklyn. So we're talking about Montessori activities. I feel that you have probably understood my passion for this. I bought a book. There's many like them out there. The one that I bought is called Teach Me to Do It Myself, Montessori Activities for You and Your Child. I went over some of them in the first segment. Other ones that are in here are as simple as setting the table, polishing shoes, folding clothes with your child, opening and closing objects. It gives you a whole, you know, to-do of exactly how to teach your child in an orderly fashion to open and close objects. We also ended up doing one, my son and I, and he's only 19 months old. That was very fun about learning the difference between loud and soft. And it makes me feel good as a mother because I had to run around the house and make six different jars and figure out three that made loud sounds. I put a rock in one, you know, I put some nails in another one, and then three different things to make soft sounds. I found some little star pasta. I found some lace that kind of shook around one. It's all very interesting. It's a great way to bond with your kid. I highly recommend buying yourself a Montessori activities book that you can do in your home while you're waiting for your child to start their full-time educational career at in kindergarten. So to follow up with this Montessori, I would like to thank Melissa Mary McAllister for posting a very amazing list of Montessori guide tips, again, for you and your home. Now, it was called 101 Ways to Help Your Child in the Montessori Way, but it is now 98 Ways by Alessandra. I edited it because I took out two things that were religious, which, you know, does not pertain to everybody. And Montessori is not a religious school whatsoever. They are actually based in atheism. So this was probably just the teacher's preference on this given day. And then I took another one out that was trying to sell you something. So we're going to do 99. I have split it up into activities and behavioral. So we're going to go through them. In activities, have a special shelf where your child's books are kept and replaced after careful use. Make regular trips to the public library and become familiar with the librarians and how the library works and enjoy books together. Borrow books and help your child learn the responsibility for caring for them and returning them. This is great because, you know, we're such an internet technology gadget world. So going to your public library, I just really think is so important, and books are just so much more beautiful and you get so much more out of the illustration. Read together daily with younger children. Stick to books with realistic themes. Allow sufficient time for your child to dress himself or herself. Allow your child to collaborate with food preparation and encourage your extended day child to take at least some responsibility for preparing his or her own lunch. If possible, allow your child to plot a land, allow your child a plot of land or at least a flower pot in which to experience growing things. And we can all do this on our windowsill. Take walks together at the child's pace. Try to refrain from pulling your child, from hurrying. I know that that's hard for most parents, but try to make, you know, leave the house 10 minutes earlier if you can. And when you're taking these walks, always pause to notice things and talk about them. This really fun exercise. You think that you're not giving your child enough education? There's a whole world out there of things to point out. help your child be in a calm and prepared mood to begin school, just like these activities that we went over, rather than be overstimulated and carrying toys or food or helping you with bags. Eliminate or strictly limit TV watching and replace with activity-oriented things which involve the child rather than his or her being a passive observer. Now, we all need television. I do 20 minutes cartoon in the morning because I need to do my chores, and I do 20 minutes cartoon at night because I need to clean up the house from the whole day. So I'm not being a TV, you know, critic here, but try to limit it is all that they're saying. From the earliest age, give your child the responsibility to pick up after him or herself, i.e. return toys to the place, put dirty clothes in laundry baskets, clear dishes to appropriate place, clean off sink after use. That's something you can start right now. My son already gets clean up. He already gets teeth time. He already gets wash hands, and he's only 19 months old. These necessities in preparing the environment will help so the children know where things go later on in life. Assign regular household tasks when your child is old enough that need to be done to maintain the household to your child as age appropriate. Perhaps setting silverware and napkins on the table, sorting, recycling. We've talked about composting before on Growing Good, dusting, watering plants, etc. Anything that they can handle at their specific age, give them the responsibility. They will thrive. Their confidence will gain. Sing. Voice quality does not matter. If you're tone deaf, it's all good. Sing together regularly. Build a repertoire of family favorites. Refrain from overstructuring your child's time with former classes and activities. Leave time to just be, to play, explore, create. You know, this is sometimes they just want to play with their wee-wee. That's okay. That's just what they're doing that day. Count. Utilize natural opportunities that arise. Count walking down the stairs. This has been like, I mean, reading something so simple to me as a mother, I was like, oh, I just don't do that nearly enough. Now I count everything. I count everywhere we're going. I count steps to the elevator. I count the time that it takes for the elevator to go down to the first floor. So count, count, count. Tell and retell family-based stories. For example, on the day you were born. I love this. Or remember the day. Or, you know, when grandma and grandpa met. Or when mommy and daddy met. Tell and retell the family-based stories. Look at family pictures together. This one we've been doing at home. I've got a, you know, a little section of my frames. Help your child to be aware of his or her extended family, names, and relationships. Construct your child's biography, the story of his or her life. This is just an activity that they offer. They suggest making a notebook that is ideal so that it can be added to each year. Sharing one's story can become a much loved ritual, and it can be shared with the child's class at birthday time so they can bring it on later, you know, for show and tell, but more importantly, maybe they can give it to their spouse on their wedding day. It's just a beautiful thing. Assist your child to be aware of his or her feelings, to have vocabulary for emotions and be able to express them. Right now, I'm working on ouchie. You know, it's going to grow into other feelings, but ouchie is a good one because when I don't see something, Wally has learned to come to me and point to his eyebrow and say, ouchie, so that it actually helps you know more what's going on with your child. Play games together. Through much repetition, children learn to take turns. They learn to win and lose. And most importantly, they learn to share. Together, do things to help others. This is a great one. For example, take food to an invalid neighbor. Contribute blankets to a homeless shelter. Give toys to those who have none. Refrain from giving your child too much stuff. If you already have too much, give some away, store and rotate. Memorize poetry and teach it to your child and recite it together. Put up a bird feeder. Whenever you go somewhere with your child, prepare him or her for what is going to happen and what will be expected of him or her at the store, restaurant, doctor's office, etc. Express appreciation to your child and others and help your child do the same. You can do this by sending thank you notes for gifts together. Young children can dedicate a time to send a picture or make a drawing for somebody else. Help your child to learn to like healthful foods. Never force a child to eat something he or she does not like, but also don't offer unlimited alternatives. Make trying new things fun. And this is cool. Talk about foods and how they look, at describe the taste, introduce the word savor, and teach them how to do it and engage again children in food preparation. You can do this at the supermarket. I think we're running out of time here. There's just so much. Laugh a lot, play with words, tell jokes, spend quality time with people of different ages. share your profession or occupation with your child, have him or her visit at work, and have some appreciation of work done in the world. See that your child learns to swim, the younger the better. And make sure that your child has the tools that he or she needs at his appropriate size, child size broom, mop, dustpan, whisk broom, duster, to help maintain the cleanliness of the household. So we're barely just getting through the activities. I have not been able to get to the behaviorals, but you can do research for yourself, and I will go ahead and post these online on my Facebook, the behavioral accounts, which are also very important that I did not get to today, at facebook.com/AlessandraMI. The last thing that they really want you to know about, which I really have gained a lot from Montessori, is evaluate each of your child's toys. Does it help him or her learn something? Does the child use it? Does it work? Are all the pieces present? Is it safe? This is something you can do today in your home. We love you on Growing Good, and we're going to be going out again with John Lennon, Look at Me.
Look at me. Who am I supposed to be? Who am I supposed to be? Look at me. What am I supposed to be? What am I supposed to be?
Look. Thanks for listening to this program on the Heritage Radio Network. You can find all of our archived programs on heritageradionetwork.com, as well as a schedule of upcoming live shows. You can also podcast all of our programs on iTunes by searching Heritage Radio Network in the iTunes Store. You can find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter for up-to-date news and information. Thanks for listening.